Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening hour that we are found in Thy house and in the place where prayer is offered and the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. We thank Thee tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is present to heal. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that Thou wilt walk down these aisles tonight. And we pray that Thou wouldst come and with Thy nail-pierced hand, Thou wouldst touch sin-soiled and sin-stricken hearts. O God, we pray this evening hour for Thy blessing, the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. We pray that we may feel and know that the Lord Christ is amongst us. We thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is a glorious Savior. And we thank Thee that He saves the people by His grace and power. This evening, Lord, make this an old-fashioned converting meeting. We pray that the gospel will be preached with power, that our hearts will be filled with the presence of Thy Spirit. We pray that Thou wouldst rebuke the devil and all the adversaries of hell, and make a way in this house along which the Word of God shall run and be glorified. We're glad tonight there's power in Thy holy Word. We're glad tonight that God answers prayer. We're glad tonight that sinners can be converted to the Savior. We remember our land. We remember those homes that were plunged into the darkest of sorrow. This morning, by the killing of that police officer and soldier. Oh God, comfort broken hearts. Oh God, give Thy peace to those that mourn. Oh God, come to this land Thyself. Rebuke the devourer. Drive back the adversary. Drive back the forces of Romanism and ecumenism, we pray. Set this land free by the preaching of the gospel and by the declaration of that holy word that maketh wise unto salvation. Now, Lord, bless us as we sing these hymns, read the word, and preach the gospel for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, amen. Judges chapter 1 and verse 7. As I have done, so God hath requited me. My subject this evening is paid back in their own coin. Paid back in their own coin. There are those who despise God and insult His law. They think that God forgets, and they also think that there will be no reaping to their sowing. And so they can sow sinfully, they can sow iniquity, they can sow transgression, and they're under the delusion and the deception that there's going to be no reaping time. The mills of God grind slow, but they grind exceeding small. The foot of justice may wear a slow slipper, but eventually justice shall catch up on all of those that have transgressed God's law. The book of Judges is a most interesting book. Across its pages, there march wonderful characters. Some good, some not so good, and some evil, and some as evil as they possibly could be. But the dark background of the book of Judges is anarchy. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and there was no king in Israel. To the music of the passion of this book, there come onto the stage men like Samson, men like Jephthah, men like Barak, the woman like Deborah, and others. But in this first chapter, we plumb the depths of degradation and depravity and debauchery. At verse 5, you will find the name of the most hideous monster that is exposed in this book. His name was Adonai Bezek. And what a monster he was. He was a great military tyrant. He was a man who took his armies across the land and left in their wake cities burned, countries ravaged, and whole populations put to the sword. But he had one great ambition, and that was to capture as many kings as he possibly could capture. And when he brought these kings back to his palace, he ordered that their thumbs and their great toes would be cut off. And then, refusing to give them any footwear, when the great toe is removed, the balance of the man is gone. So they no longer could stand. So they crept under his table. And as he sat down to meat, like dogs under the table, were 70 kings. 670 kings. All weaving for the crust of bread. Then he would throw them. And as this monster of cruelty sat in his throne of state, he would throw the crumbs to these kings, these helpless victims of his cruelty, under the table. No doubt armies were marshaled, no doubt battles were fought to deliver the land from the tyranny of this dictator. But all in vain. He had a great stronghold in Bezek. He thought that his palace and castle were impregnable. And he laughed at his enemies and hurled defiance at all his foes. But then one day word came that the Israelite invaders of the land were marching on his stronghold. I can hear the tyrant laugh at such a thing. Have I not defeated 70 kings in my day? Look at them groveling like dogs under my table. Who is Judah? Who is Simeon? Who are these tribes of Israel? And the sins of Adonai Bezek caught up on him. And the ramparts of his stronghold were scaled by the marching soldiers of Judah and Simeon. And I hear a cry go up. They have scaled the wall. They're flooding into the streets. They're heading for the palace. And the tyrant shakes in a frenzy of fear. All the sins of the past are catching up on him. And I see the soldiers of Judah and Simeon burst into the royal palace where those kings, those helpless kings, sit under the table without their toes, their great toes and their thumbs. And I see the man of Judah and the man of Simeon point to the man under the table. And they say, as you did to them, so we shall do to you. And they brought the tyrant out. And I see the hatchet lifted aloft. And it comes down upon the great toes of that cruel, bloody monster, Adonai, Bezek. And I hear, see it lifted again. And it comes down upon his thumb. And what does he say as his blood gushes out from the ground? As I have done, so God hath requited me. You will notice he didn't make any protest. You will notice he didn't say, you are doing a wrong thing. You will notice he didn't castigate the man that did it. But in his heart, he knew he deserved it all. It was a matter of a speedy reaping of a long sowing. And here we have the great doctrine of divine retribution, paid back in his own coin. And you can go through the Bible, and you'll find this great doctrine underscored and underlined and emphasized in book after book, in page after page, in chapter after chapter, in verse after verse, in line after line. You remember Jacob? You remember Rebecca dressing him in the hairy garment and sending him in to his blind father? Do you remember how the father thought that it was Esau? He said, let me feel your hands, for the voice is the voice of Jacob. And he felt the goat skin on the back of his hands, and he thought it was the hairy flesh of his son Esau. He said, let me feel the back of your neck, my son. And as he felt the back of the neck and the goat skin upon it, he thought it was the hairy flesh of Esau. And Jacob deceived his father and got the blessing. Many years after, the sons of Jacob came with a blood-stained coat, and they held it up in Jacob's face. And they said, is this thy son's coat? And Jacob's heart melted within his bowels. And he cried out, it is my son, an evil beast hath devoured him. And the man that deceived his father was the subject of the deceptions of his own son. For you reap whatsoever you sow. The harvest is certainly coming. You'll reap whatsoever you sow. Sin will always be found out, but sin also finds men out. Be sure your sin will find you out. What shall I say of David?
You remember David's great sin and his act of adultery with Uriah's wife. And he stands to the front line of the battle and he says to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite back from the battle line." And Uriah came back and David made him drunk. And he thought that the drunken Uriah would cover over his sin and his relationship with his wife. But it wasn't to be. For be sure, your sins will find you out. And when David couldn't cover up his iniquity, what did he do? He wrote Uriah's death warrant and gave it to Uriah. And Uriah carried his own death warrant to the front. And the army retired and left Uriah to fight it alone. And he fell by the sword of Israel's enemies. And David took Bathsheba to be his wife. But the thing that he did displeased the Lord. And the old prophet Nathan came and he told that story of two men, one very rich and one very poor. And the rich man had lambs, and he had cattle, and he had sheep, and he had oxen in abundance. And the poor man had only one ewe lamb that was like a daughter, brought up in his table, and that lay in his bosom. And a stranger came to visit the rich man, and instead of taking of his own flock, he took the little ewe lamb from the poor man's home. And he slew it and made a meal for the stranger. And David's anger was kindled against the rich man. And he said, "He'll die." And the old prophet's eye flashed the fire of God. And he said, "Thou art the man." And David's sin was discovered when he stood exposed in the presence of God. And God said, "The sword shall never depart from your house." And David had a son, and his name was Absalom. And what David did to Bathsheba, Absalom did to David's wives in the sight of all Israel. David reaped what he sowed. "As I have done, so God hath requited me." The principle of divine retribution. There is a greater sin than the sin of Adonai Bezek. There is a greater sin than the sin of Jacob the deceiver. There is a greater sin than the sin of David the adulterer and murderer. What is the greatest sin that man can commit? The greatest sin that man can commit is to reject God's well-beloved Son, to turn one's back upon the cross of shame and suffering and sacrifice and bloodshedding and expiation, to say no to the overtures of divine grace in the gospel, and to turn into the dark road that leads to the darkness of the damned and the caverns of hell. And let me tell you, that is the sin that will have the terrible retribution for its darkness and its guilt in the great eternity that lies before us all. How many times have you heard the gospel and rejected it? How many times have you listened to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ and turned your back on Him? How many times has a thorn-crowned Savior with nail-pierced hands knocked upon your heart's door? And you've put up the chain
and driven home the bolts. And you've turned your back on the blessed Christ of God. Crucifying afresh the Lord of glory. And putting him to an open shame.
Across the threshold of the church's door tonight lies the body of the Savior.
And there will be men and women in this great service that will trample underfoot the blood of Christ
and will count it an unholy thing, that which was shed for their salvation and cleansing. What will you do with Jesus Christ? The age-long question spoken in Pilate's judgment hall by old Pilate himself comes with trumpet blast to every heart this evening. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do with the Son of God tonight? I would ask you another question. What will the reaping be if you sow the seed of Christ's rejection? If you sow the seed of Christ's refusal? If you sow the seed tonight of saying no to the blessed Savior? As I have done, so God requited me. And in the day of the last great assize, in the day of the last great judgment, will you have to say, as I did to Jesus in the Martyrs Memorial Church and the Sunday evening in May, I rejected him. So Christ now rejects me for all eternity. Every man, every woman, every boy and every girl in this service is going to make a decision tonight. And that decision will bring either salvation or divine retribution. And as you do, God will do to you. Let us bow our heads in prayer. As our heads are bowed
and our eyes are closed,
and we're perfectly still and quiet before God, I want to make a simple appeal this evening. Men and women, hear it for eternity. You'll reap whatsoever you sow. The harvest is certainly coming. You'll reap whatsoever you sow. If you sow the seed of Christ's rejection, you'll reap the seed of Christ rejecting you. What will your answer be to the Son of God tonight? There are men and women here that are saved by God's grace. Their trust is not in the church. Their trust is not in baptism. Their trust is in Christ and in Christ alone. Dear believer, lift your heart to heaven. Thank God for saving you. And then start praying for others that the Lord may save them this evening. Then there are those here who are backsliders. They once knew and loved the Savior. They once walked with God in the light of His Word. But they've got away from it. They've brought to their hearts pain and woe. But thank God tonight, they can come back to Him and be restored to Him. Then there are those here in this meeting that are not saved. They've never said yes to Christ. Tonight the Spirit of God is upon them. They never felt just how they feel tonight, because God's power
has been upon the meeting, and God's Spirit has been working in many hearts. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you trust Him? You say, what will I do? There's only one way to heaven, it's via the cross. There's only one way to the cross. It's the pathway of confession. If we confess our sin. You're a backslider, confess your backsliding. If you're a sinner, confess your sin. And then the Lord will meet with you and will save you. I'm making a simple appeal this evening. If there's a man or woman, a boy or girl in this service, a backslider or a sinner, and you would like to come to the Lord Jesus Christ now, you'd like to confess your need, and that's all that you can do. Confess your need of Christ. I wonder right now, backslider. I wonder right now, sinner friend, would you just slip up your hand and we'll remember you in the closing prayer.